Obviously, as we now begin this third week of Lent, the Church is thinking about those who are getting ready for baptism. You see, in the early Church, it was a three-year period to prepare for the preparation for baptism. And during those 3 years, there were readings and studies. The book of Sirach, which is why it's called Ecclesiasticus, was read as an as teaching in moral life and in wisdom. They were delivered the rite of exorcist. This is one of the minor orders. Was instituted so that, presuming anybody coming from the world would be beset with some kind of spirits, and they'd have to be free of them, so that they were delivered from evil spirits, from the demons that would cling to them, from the culture, from the world, from the, we even exorcise salt and water to free it from influence before we bless it. That's how we bless water. And so then they would be, if they were ready, after about 3 years, they were put into a class called Iphotismeni. The enlightened ones, they got it. Faith had entered into their minds, into their culture. Their family life was changing. They were changing. They were not the same. And then at that point, in most dioceses, which are a lot smaller than ours, the bishop would meet with them every morning at 6 o'clock. Every morning. In that part of the world, 6 o'clock is late. Well, I mean, like, the sun is up about 5. And so, every morning from 6 to 9, he would meet with them and instruct them and urge them and help them. And every day for the 40 days of Lent. And that's when all these rites that you see, the scrutinies, which are more deliverances, right? The three scrutinies are for all the... In other words, the Church had the wisdom to take realistically the fact that there's a lot of evil, and there's a lot of evil caused by spirits, and these people coming to Christ are going to need help in their minds, first and foremost, in their minds, to be instructed. The values, the outlooks, the fears, the desires with which they grew up are wrong. That's not the meaning of life. That's not the meaning of this world. So they need 3 years to get ready. So that, and they got it. Faith is really starting to work in them. And the Holy Spirit is there. And then, these 40 days, every day with the bishop for 3 hours. Preparation. And then finally comes baptism. So these readings that we have at Mass, because they went every day, they couldn't go to communion. And in fact, in many of those rites in those days, they left after the homily, as we do now on Sundays. We have people in church on Sunday who are preparing for baptism, and they leave to have their own instruction because they're not ready yet. You know, in the Eastern Rite, to this day, as we start that solemn part of the Mass, we sing out, the doors, let us attend in wisdom, meaning shut the doors. Now, only those who believe in Jesus Christ and who, for the love of Jesus Christ, has taken over their life, and who do not have enmity against anybody, they're allowed to stay, nobody else. To this day. In fact, when I used to celebrate the Eastern Rite with my friend, Bishop Raya, who was then Father Raya, we would announce, if anybody has anything against anybody in this church, you should leave now. Come back next week, sing and praise, listen to the Word of God, have a good time, but if your heart is not right, you leave. It was serious. Now, among the readings, then, you see, this is an outstanding example of a reading that was destined to prepare people for what was going to happen to them on Holy Saturday night at the vigil, which was an all-night vigil, all night. They bless the fire. They bless the fire every Saturday night. And then they lit the lights then on that night, 12 readings to prepare everybody for the solemnity and the beauty. And it went on all night, exhortations after every reading. And then finally at dawn, and then the baptism in the middle of all of this, huh? And then at dawn, the liturgy. And for the first time, these people, all dressed in white, holding candles, sang and praised with everybody else, and received the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the first time. And just before they received the body and blood of Jesus Christ, for the first time, they said the Our Father with full right. Now the Holy Spirit dwells in them. Now they have the right to say the Our Father. We used to say, taught by our Savior's command, taught by Jesus and formed by the sacrament, we have the right to say Our Father. So in all that context, you see, this reading about Naaman and water was given. And it was to say, on the night that God gives you a share in His divine life, don't look for bells and whistles. It's going to be very simple. You're going to be plunged in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you are going to rise from there new with divine life in you, with the seal of baptism impressed on your spirit, so that now you can receive all the other sacraments fruitfully. Up to then, you know, they could go, but it'd be like giving it to a rabbit. I mean, nobody can receive the body and blood of Christ unless they're baptized. You need to have that stamp on your spirit of baptism and confirmation. They got both sacraments that night. Now you're ready. And in many churches, between all of that and the main church, where people, because, you know, this was a little bit aside, the big pool, and everybody was out in the church still praising God, and they would there was an intermediate state place, and they would go there and begin to practice the gifts they had just received in baptism, tongues, prophecy, whatever they were, to practice, to experience the work of the Holy Spirit, taste the age to come already. But this gospel, this reading today, and I'm sure the instruction that went with it was, you can look, we have the instructions of Cyril of Jerusalem. You can look at them. Or this book, Binding the Strong Man. You know that? Is that the book I want? No. From Darkness to Light. You have the instructions of all the fathers of the church getting people ready for baptism. How serious and how beautiful it is. And in this, you see, as we start this third week, the lesson is, don't look for bells and whistles. What's going to happen to you is much deeper than that. Let your spirit come alive so that your spirit is sensitive to what's going on. And you learn in your spirit, not in your emotions, not in your body necessarily, though this must touch your body. You see? This is not going to be one of these oriental initiations, you know, sit on the floor and breathe deep and you'll get eternity, you know. It's going to be very simple. You are going to profess your faith in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Apostles' Creed would have been a little example of what was called the rule of faith. Do you believe these things? Yes. All right then, come and be baptized. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then they rise, clothed in a beautiful white robe, given a candle, light. And then they go and praise God, praying in tongues if they've just received that gift, prophesying, you see, using all the gifts they've just received. Normal. And then join everybody else for the Eucharist. Jesus there in the midst rejoicing with them. I am risen from the dead. I have conquered. I have broken death. I have broken sin. Here, come. And all together, praising God. Of course, it took all night. Where else are you going to go? The best thing you could do with your life. We should pray, my friends, that that kind of life of the Holy Spirit take us over again. And that these things, this bread and wine, these words, fill us with awe. The danger is, like Jesus said, you know, everybody's looking for bells and whistles. No. I come to you in bread and wine. I come to you in water and oil. I come to you in words, simple words. I come to you through human hands. And I do come to you. You are not angels. You need your flesh in order to be saved. And so that's the background of why on this Monday, as we get into the third week of Lent, there's this reading explaining to people what's going to happen and starting to alert their spirits. Do you know, my friends, our spirits should be alive like this all the time. If we made it even an hour a day, you know, a minute here, 2 minutes there, and it added up to 60 minutes, that'd be pretty good. The world in which we move. God once told St. Catherine of Siena, see all these people? If you saw, and they're here, and many here at the liturgy, they're at the state of grace. They're in the state of grace. If you saw one of them for what they really are right now, you'd start to worship them. You'd think it was me. Because they have my divine life in them. So, that's the lesson for today, you see, and to realize where we are, and that there are people going through this process all over the world right now, getting ready to be baptized at the Easter Vigil. And all of this divine work is going on in their lives, and in ours. And in ours. This is why we have these readings, and not just for the catechumens. So that on that night, when Jesus Christ stands in our midst, glorious, rejoicing, showing everybody his wounds, praising the Father, bringing us with him, we'll be ready to receive all the blessings he wants to give us.